Hallelujah. Well, praise God. You know, it's wonderful when the Lord speaks, but through the week, this word was confirmed to me through certain situation and something that I've again wanted to come back to. Again, nothing new, but it will be new because it's fresh manna. But I think something that I'm going to deal with this morning, and we've had much teaching on it, but it's something that we've got to really learn in this, and the title will clearly give the explanation to this. In the trials, God will reveal the cross. In the trials, or your trials, God will reveal the cross. And I just want to say in passing, before we open this up, and it may go on for several weeks, this teaching, many Christians today don't see that our death with Christ is seen experientially from two viewpoints, from a legal point viewpoint and an actual. And this is where so much confusion today. In fact, I would even take it a step further. This is where the enemy is holding many of our brothers and sisters from actually entering into the deeper life experience. The deeper life experience, that doorway is actually, the key to this is the cross. And all the while you see yourself legally crucified with Christ, you will never actually go on into the deeper life, into the experience. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I want to just say in passing, if you turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Paul says this here to the Corinth church, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. So Paul here is speaking to the Corinth church that he wants them to know that they are raised up legally, that is, with the Lord Jesus. And as they are raised up with him, so he will raise them up on that day. And he wants them to know that. And he wants the grace of that to be known. And he wants that to be spread abroad. Because that is the heart of the gospel message. That is the good news of what Jesus has done. And that is why we make much about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That through the new birth, you are now in death, gone down into his death, and you are raised legally up with him, now seated in heavenly places with Christ. You are crucified with him, you are raised with him, legally. Good news. Wonderful. And with that, you can fill churches. With that message, you can build empires. With that message, you are free to preach the gospel. But if you take the message a step further, which Jesus did, where you too are to die in this life to the things through trials, that is where you will see the powers of darkness starting to rise up. And that is where you will see the gospel message opposed. And if the church is to survive in this last day, she has got to come to terms that we are not only legally raised with Christ, but there is an actual walking it out in this life as well. And so Paul here enters into this legal transaction by faith, which we do, where the penalty of sin, our sin, has been dealt with. But on the other side of the coin is our actual death with Christ. It is also this death to that self-life. And that because of the self-life, that is why I'm convinced Jesus said, I am not going to take you up with me now into glory, but I'm going to cause you to remain while I go ahead and prepare a place for you. I'm going to send the comforter to you, who's going to comfort you, because you're now going to have to experience and walk in my footsteps in this life. And you're going to have to walk it by faith. And the way you walk it by faith, the way that you will endure to the end, is that I'm going to bring you to the end of yourself. I am now going to weaken my church, that my power may be manifested and seen through her. And that is the message of this last day. And I'm convinced, I'll place my ministry on this, that that is the message that will only stand for the church to survive now in this last days. Otherwise, she is going into the ecumenical move. She is going to compromise. It will be that Laodicean church that believes she's rich and powerful and got the anointing, but the acid test, when it comes, will reveal that she hasn't. Because she hasn't the real message of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that that's nothing new, but I want you to know that. And the reason I want you to know that is because that is what you are going to have to share as the Holy Spirit leads you. You, if you want to be used, you are going to have to share this message. Yes, the good news that Christ has dealt with sin, but the church, if we are to adhere and remain and stay with the apostolic message of faith, it must also consist of the fact that you too, if you want to follow Christ and be a Christian, you too have got to take up your cross and follow the Lord. That is true evangelistic teaching. And evangelism, a lot of it is falling very short of that message. And we know for reasons why. So on the actual side of this, we've looked at the legal. Now on the actual side, the death with Christ is also this death to the self. And the Holy Spirit comes to reproduce the crucifixion in your life. And this is achieved by only one way. By that self willingly surrendering up, that the crucifixion may be reproduced in your life as it was in the life of Jesus. That is the only way that can be achieved. John 10, 17. John chapter 10, verses 17 to 18. 17 to 18 of John 10. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. You know, very often, those two verses are overlooked with the teaching of the cross. Jesus is actually showing us something there. If we're to follow in his footsteps, which we're to do, then that principle there that he speaks of is also not only a principle, but also to be our experience as well. And I want us just to look at this, because what is actually being said here is that the Holy Spirit will not touch any area of you that we don't wish to surrender. And that is why God still challenges us and still speaks to us, because there are still areas, and maybe you're not even fully aware of this yet, because this deals with deliverance. But there are still areas that we are still either not very keen, or we're dull of hearing, that we don't want the Holy Spirit to deal with in order that we surrender that the cross deals with it. That is what is called fundamentally the deeper deliverance. This deeper deliverance is where the Holy Spirit is honing in, and he's working, and he's working away there, and he's trying to get your attention to show you that you have to die to that. You have to willingly surrender that over, that the Holy Spirit is now going to deal with it. And if we are truthful and absolutely honest, there are still some issues in our life where we yet have not settled it. Now, the question that I want to raise before we go on any further, I don't want you to get muddled up where you're thinking to yourself, well, haven't I been to the Garden of Gethsemane? I am assuming, and I believe the Holy Spirit is assuming, that what we are dealing with this morning is where we have settled Gethsemane. And from that, we've now got up spiritually, and we walked away from it, and we're now presented with the cross. We're now presented with betrayal, which Jesus was. Because after he'd settled it in the Garden of Gethsemane, they came for him. And within a matter of hours, he was put to the cross. When you settled it in the Garden of Gethsemane, who then came to you? The Holy Spirit. And said, right, I now take you away, and I'm now crucifying you. And what we're talking about now is, you're on the cross, and death must take over. So that spiritually now is what I'm addressing to this assembly. It's not a question now, you should have settled Gethsemane. We're dealing now about the cross, that hanging up on there, separated from the world. That is what we're dealing with. As now in that death process, as death starts to take over, exposures start to rise. And when you're on that cross, it is foolish to try and hide any areas from God. Because as Jesus hung there naked, exposed, so you likewise are hung there naked and exposed for that very purpose, to expose all that is not godly in God's sight. And that is your trials you're now going through. And I trust that this is going to begin to put this in a different perspective, in a different light. That you're going to start to begin to understand and not think it's strange when these things are happening or you go through what you go through. It's because you are on that cross now. This is the Holy Spirit reproducing the crucifixion in your life. This is where the church is getting strong in her very weakness. This is where she's now going to stand. She's going to stand because resurrection is now working on her behalf. You see. But the Holy Spirit is not going to touch you in any area if you are resisting and you're not surrendering over to him. And so after settling Gethsemane, you get up. And at the moment you get up, the Holy Spirit is right there and says, now I'm handing you over to the enemy. I'm going to hand you over for a season to the powers of darkness. What? Did you hear? Yes. The Holy Spirit can handle you over for a season for the Holy Spirit to come in. For the powers of darkness, I should say, to come in to do a work of deliverance in your life. Yes, you heard me, and you heard me right. Because it's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So God very often will allow that hedge to come down. Satan will take advantage of that. But God will say, Satan, I'm only going to say to you, you have got 2 weeks and that's all you have. And after that 2 weeks, you have to leave. And so in that 2 weeks, it's like God has turned his back on you. In that 2 weeks, it seems as though, am I really saved? In that 2 weeks, there are things now beginning to expose, or deep areas that you have been resisting God, now are all coming to the surface. My God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you gone? And God has allowed it. He's allowed it for a very specific reason. What is it? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God, which is your reasonable service. That is what you do daily. That is where Jesus said, you daily take up your cross before you get out of bed. That is the walk of the day. What does that mean? It means you're that living sacrifice. You present yourself to God, acceptable before him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we talking about this morning? The perfect, acceptable will of God. This is the will of God for you. And he wants you to know it. Because you are a living sacrifice on that altar. That's the whole nature in this life. You are a nobody. You are a servant. You are forgotten about. You are hid away. You are imprisoned. You are nothing to Christendom, to a lot of it. We try and take this message, and I would empty most churches, would be ridiculed, cast out. They would. And you know that. And it's not that we are any better. It's simply we choose to go God's way. We choose the Holy Spirit's way. But that is what it is in this life. That is the very walk, the very way you have taken upon yourself. And that is why God deals with pride, all those areas that we still have problems with. And that is why the Holy Spirit will not touch any area within which we don't wish to surrender. Because self, or the idol of self, is the greatest hindrance to growth. And it must die. It must die. And that is why you have to settle it with Romans 12, 1 and 2. And this Holy Spirit now, after you settle that, after you get up, you settle Gethsemane, you get up, the Holy Spirit now comes, betrays you as it seems outwardly, puts you now to the cross. That is your presenting yourself on that altar. That's the daily walking the way of the cross, as Jesus said. The Holy Spirit now chooses the life that you are going to live. You do not choose your own life now. You do not choose how you're going to live, how you're going to act, what you're going to do, where you're going to go, or your decisions, whatever. The Holy Spirit makes every decision, every day, small and great, whatever it is, he makes complete decision, total demands upon your life, my life. Because I am now dead in Christ. I hang on that cross. He makes that total demand upon me. Assuming, of course, that we have met the conditions. Well, having briefly just given that introduction, we have to be reminded of these things, you see. We're now going to look at this and open this up to areas now where the Holy Spirit is presenting the cross to you. And I think by the end of this teaching, you're going to realize that God has been showing you whether you're willing to die or not in certain areas. Or maybe you haven't been quite understanding how God actually does it. How does the Holy Spirit really do this? I mean, I hear it in theory, in theology, but what is the experience of this? Well, you may be quite surprised that the cross probably is working, and he's wanting to work it even more and more, but we're not attuned always to this. And firstly, with that, bearing this in mind, the cross in trials, temptations must be revealed, assuming that you have met the conditions. So whatever you're going through, whatever God is working in your life, and a lot of it, I said, is deliverance, the cross, sooner or later, must be revealed. And it is not revealed by flesh and blood. It is not revealed in a religious way, which is bondage. It has to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. For one purpose and reason, because grace is always attached to that revelation. God will never present the cross to you without grace. He never does that. We know that clearly from Paul. When Paul sought God three times over that thorn in the flesh, and God said what God was really saying, Paul, it is the cross. Die, just die to it, because my grace is sufficient. And we never hear Paul anymore ever going back to God with regard to that. He chose to die, to surrender. Now, how did he surrender? How did he die? Because what he really experienced, what he saw with that, was the grace of God. He realized he could not argue with God. He realized God was not going to change his mind. This was the course, the direction God had for him. And he had to simply yield to it, die. But he could not die until grace was in operation. And that is why the two is working with you and me and this church. Do you see this? Because grace brings the experience, the reality of the cross into your life and my life. Otherwise, you will resist it. Flesh will resist it every time. Flesh, pride, will always come up with excuses. Now, bearing that in mind, firstly, do not think of trials as strange. We should be coming to a place in this church where we're no longer thinking a trial is strange, something it shouldn't be, abnormal, or whatever it would be. We should start to begin to realize, even though it's painful, but we should begin to realize God is allowing me to go through this. This is the way I have to go. His grace is sufficient because the cross has got to work in this. The cross has got to bring about a death in order for resurrection to be experienced. So if we have that in mind, we know that, we're not going to start to think, oh, whatever is going on, why is this happening? I never meant thought for one moment, being a Christian, that we'd have to experience this, or I've got to go through this. If you're saying why and reacting in that way, you still have not yet understood. You are still resisting the very fact that to make it into the kingdom of God, we must go through much trial and tribulation, as it says in the book of Acts. You still have not understood this yet. And so God can't take you any further because you're still at the moment resisting the fact that you have to enter the kingdom through trials, testings, tribulations. Now, of course, nobody in their flesh can say, what a message. Wow, this is brilliant. Some of you are laughing at that because you know exactly what I mean. But somewhere inside says, yes, I know that's right, but I also know that God loves me and he's never going to let me be tried and tested above what I'm able to endure. So I can rest in that, because that is really the secret to what this is about. This is knowing the love of God, that God loves me, and yes, I'm going to have these trials and tests, but I know I'm not going to go through this on my own. He's going to go through it with me, and I know he will bring me through, as painful as this is. And he does. And trials don't last forever. And when you come through, you have... the Holy Spirit has done a working in your life, in your character, in your relationship with him. But you've come through and you've forgotten all about the pain that was attached to it. Why have you forgotten about the pain? Because resurrection has been the blessing. And resurrection will always forget about the pain, the sin, the bondage, because Jesus said, I cast it away as far as the east is to the west. Amen? Amen. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news. So don't think it's strange when these trials come your way. That's the first thing. Now the second thing. To acknowledge the cross, which I've already said, that acknowledgement is that you are confessing each day when you wake up, I take up my cross this day, Lord, and I follow you. I confess that each day. That's right for me. It may be slightly different for you, but I like to hear myself say it. I like just to remind myself that that's what I'm saying, and that's what I'm saying to God, and that's what I'm saying to the powers of darkness, and that's what I'm saying to this old stinking flesh. I'm taking up my cross this day. I'm following you. Confession of faith. Because confessions of faith are very important. It's not just confessing that you're healed or blessing or finances, whatever. It's also confessing I'm crucified with Christ. I know that one sorts out the men from the boys. But that is should also be our confession. Our desire one. So to acknowledge the cross means that it comes into operation. So that experience, the Holy Spirit's going to work, is going to work the experience of the cross in that day that you walk. And the experience of the cross must be experienced more and more. And the only way it's going to be experienced as God works deliverance, as those doors are being closed in your life, so the working of the cross, death, resurrection, will be experienced even more. If you're not getting deliverances, if there's not a lot of change that's taking place in your life, I can probably guarantee the fact, you can go right back, it's the cross that's the problem. It's not really in operation. You are resisting as the Holy Spirit's trying to put you to death in some areas. And that can work in numerous ways. Say, for example, the tongue. There's a certain person, and you know every time they open their mouth, you react. And God says, I want you to die to that. I want you to zip lip. I don't want you to say anything. And for a while, you're not going to hear. No, I'm not letting this person walk over me. No way. You know, what comes out of their mouth is appalling. And they shouldn't be able to get away with it. And the Holy Spirit's knocking away, he's working away. I want you to die to it. And then you find that you've said something and you have to get back to God and say, Lord, I am so sorry what I've said. It's wrong. And then the Holy Spirit conviction says, well, if you were willing to surrender and die to that, that wouldn't have happened. And then you hear it for a while. And then something else is said or brought up, and you find you react again and rise up to it, and out it all starts to come, and you want to get your own back, and you want to sort of tell them that if they don't buck up their ways and clean up their act, then they're on their way to hell, and so it goes on. We've all gone down that road, and you haven't got peace there. And God is trying to get you, and again the Holy Spirit begins to show you the cross. He's saying, are you going to die to that area or not? And God, you know, and you're beginning to acknowledge then, well, Lord, I do have a problem. And yes, I have been opening my mouth, but this time I will overcome, you know. And so you go to work, you meet that same person, and something else they say, and you think, oh, praise God, I've buttoned the lip today. Lord, you're really proud with me. You know, I've made you happy and everything. And then a week later, the same thing is said again, and out it all comes. You think, oh, here I go again. Don't I ever learn, you know? And then you're down and you come before the Lord and you apologize and everything. And then the Holy Spirit's saying back to you, yeah, but you still haven't surrendered yet. You still don't want the cross yet. Yeah, but I kept quiet last week, you know? There's pride justifying still going on. See? You know it, you can recognize it. Every time you're justifying, you haven't yet fully surrendered to the cross. Jesus went as a lamb to the cross. As a lamb. He let them deal with him abominably. They abused God in flesh abominably. And he never reacted. He never said anything. He simply surrendered to the Father's will. When you get to that place in those areas that God is dealing with you, then you will start to experience the grace of God that's working that death. You see? So we have to acknowledge the cross. And if you know there's areas where you're still not surrendering, start to acknowledge it. Start to talk it out with God. Start to be honest. Say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to die in this area. I don't know, but my faith is in you. I've heard the message this morning. I'm bringing this out before you because I know death has got to take over. I'm not dead in this area. I know it and the enemy knows it. But I'm asking you, whatever this is going to take, that the Holy Spirit will now begin to work the cross so that grace comes into operation. He will. He will. That's being open and honest. That is just simply telling him the facts as it is. Because God wants you to know where it's not working. Now, I'm not talking about going to the Garden of Gethsemane. I haven't settled it yet or whatever. If that is your case, then I suggest you better do it. But I'm taking us a step further. I'm simply talking about the cross, the Holy Spirit. He's coming and he's working death now. And it's that death that you are still resisting. Because in the flesh, let's face it, flesh doesn't want to die. It isn't about to. It isn't going to die. And it's going to tell you very clearly it's not going to die. I'm not going to die. No way. I like living. I like my own way, says flesh. But the law of life in Christ Jesus, if we stay with that, will ultimately deal with the law of death. We have to decide what we want in operation. What you sow is what you reap. Those operations are working. They're working right now. They're working right now where you are, seated in your seats. You decide whether it's the law of life or the law of death in operation. You see? You have that choice. So thirdly, the cross is going to crucify and also cause you to hang there and look pathetic, hopeless, weak, a failure. So that's the next thing, that the grace of God will cause you to stay with it until death finally takes over. They are going to say, you are pathetic. You are sad. What a poor, deluded person you are. It's a shame that we have such people in life like you. That's what they were saying to Jesus. And the disciples, for a while, were thinking the same thing. Because they fled. They left him. What a failure this is. We followed this man for nearly 3 years. And look at it. He's now crucifying. He's going to die in a minute. They couldn't stay with it. That was the mercy of God that brought them back. And do you realise, friends, it's been the mercy of God that's brought you back when you could have run away from this?
Amen.
I'm aware of that, even as pastor. There were times I could have run away from this because it looked a failure. My ministry looks a failure. I've had to battle that, but what I've really been battling is pride. What a failure my ministry looks. What a message. And you think God will let me change it? No. I just tell you what, in my faith, if I could have changed this message this morning, I would. But he won't let me. And I'm glad he won't let me. I am glad. And I'm aware I look a failure, pathetic. What an idiot. You know? But God chooses the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. And I take great, great comfort that this is God's peculiar treasure set apart for him. For him. And the cross, as you choose to die in areas, is always going to look ridiculous. And for a season, it's going to look as though the enemy has triumphed. It's going to look as though the enemy has won up on you. It looks as though they're out there having a great time, prospering, doing their own thing, doing what they want. Why on earth do I have to go through this? Have you ever been tempted to think like that? Of course you have. Why, the psalmist speaks of it. Many of the saints speak of it. Do we really have to walk this way? Is this really the path you want me to go down, Lord? That makes it all God, doesn't it? And when you have to die for someone who's abusing you, misusing you, who's rude to you, and very often it's in your own family, it can be the one you're married to. And God says, I want you to die to that. It has to be the grace of God. It looks pathetic, hopeless. But there is that weakness that resurrection can come in. They are the very means that resurrection is going to work on your behalf. Because God says, I will deal with this. I will deal with all that's coming against you. I will deal with the powers of darkness. I will deal with those that lie against you, those that laugh at you, ridicule you, whatever, because what they don't realize is they're actually doing it to me. And it is a fearful thing when people come against the saints of God. For vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And that's what he wants ultimately in this. He does not want the church, he does not want saints trying to do God's work in judging. That is why we're not to judge, for that very reason. Because God says, vengeance is mine, I will judge, I will pray. I am the righteous judge. See? That's why. Now, yes, there's a righteous judgment in church. There are things that we have to deal with. But I'm talking on a more universal aspect. Those outside, those, the way they treat you or abuse you or whatever it is. And we're going to be. And I know some of you have gone through this, whether it be at work or with family or whatever it is. We pray one for another. That's why we pray, we intercede. So that, you know, the cross does its work. I find myself, when I'm praying for my brother and sister, I find myself saying, Lord, let them see the cross in this. Let the grace of God be there in this. Let them yield over to the Holy Spirit, that death may take over, that they may experience the resurrection. That's what I find myself. I'm praying. I cannot pray for you what you're going through, that God will take you out of it or he'll avoid you from going through it. I can't pray that. The Holy Spirit won't let me pray that for you. But what I will pray is that you experience Christ in this and that you experience the resurrection. And I know God answers that, because that is according to his will. The cross also will appear as though you are the guilty one. How does this work? Well, Christ took on the guilt of man upon his shoulders. Your sin, your rebellion, your unbelief, he took the burden of that. And the cross, if you take that up, is going to take the guilt and the burden of those you pray for, those that despitefully use you, yes, and even sometimes those you sit with in church. That is why Paul said, you who are strong should bear the weakness of your brother and sister. There is a classic example that the cross appears as though you are the guilty one. It appears as though you've almost taken on their guilt, their sin, their burden, their rebellion. Now that is maturity. That is growing up. You've willingly, in prayer, you've willingly, for a season, through the cross, taken on the burden of your brother and sister. Now God wants that, the same as Jesus took your sin, your rebellion, your unbelief. He took the whole burden of the world upon his shoulders. Now only the cross can do that. Only grace from the throne of God can do that. Never ever attempt to try and achieve that in the flesh, in the intellect, or it sounds a good idea. Don't even attempt it, because you will fail. You failed before you even start. And churches today are trying to put things right. They're trying to be those pillars. They're trying to speak out against moral issues and everything, and she will fail. Well, we see in Revelation where the church fails. The harlot fails, because it's all harlotry. It's all in her own strength, her own attempts. The carnal mind. And God says, I have to judge it. Another area. You wait for death, and at death, the power of God takes over. And until then, you simply hang there. But the promise is, in God's word, I will take over. He is in control, but all fight, when you come to the end of self, God then says, now death is arrived, I now take over. And that is ultimately what the cross is about. And that's why you can receive this message. Because the good news of this message is, God says, I will take over. And he does. And that is why you're being brought to the end of yourself. I see very clearly, because I know it in my own life, God is weakening each one of us. He's weakening us. Weakening us. Things look a failure. Things you have put your hands to, it seems it doesn't work. What you thought was God, somehow it just hasn't come, or whatever it is. These are all weakenings, breakings. Because he's bringing you to the end of yourself in order to bless you, to answer your prayers, your faith. But it is the glory of God that we're dealing with. the majesty of God. And God is not going to do anything that's contrary to his glory, his majesty. And his glory can only be revealed and seen and experienced when you die, when I die. It doesn't come any other way. The same as the glory of God raised Christ and raised him up to be seated at the right hand of the Father. That was the glory of God being manifested and revealed to the world. Because faith must see. You must see faith eventually. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the manifestations of faith always must come forth the cross. Death. Death to the self. That giving up, then the manifestation is seen. And that is why some of you who have been believing, holding on in faith, Mark 11:24, which I preached last week, the reason is it's not manifested yet, because death yet has not happened. That's why. Somebody once said to me, you know, this faith message teaching that you teach, I'm getting the impression that every faith, every belief, every asking God for whatever it is, there's always pain attached to it. I said, amen, brother, you're getting it. You're beginning to see. There is. There is. That's why I'm totally against this name it and claim it gospel that's so watered down. Because they don't present the cross that is attached to it, you see. And so they think they can name it and claim it and get it, and it just opens the door to the powers of darkness coming in, and Satan will play to that game. I can tell you, because it's ministering to the flesh every time. So you wait for death, and at death, the power of God then takes over. And you'll know it when the power of God takes over, because it's there. The power has brought that healing. The power has brought that revelation. The power has brought that blessing. What is your need is now being met by the power of God. But death had to first bring it into being. And finally, there then comes the resurrection. And what is the resurrection? Well, it is that deliverance. The resurrection is the manifestation of God's glory, which is revealed. And I know before the Lord raptures this church, there are still some things in this church that are mightily to be manifested for the glory of God. But my friends, you're on the way to die. You're still there. Death has got to finally take place first. I can't tell it any other way, because that is what it is. And death is going to, and God is going to show you. See, the Holy Spirit's going to show you in these trials. He's going to say, now, are you going to die to this or not? And it'll come up again. Are you going to die to this or not? And eventually you start to begin to listen. And then eventually you begin to think, well, this is a bit more serious than I thought. You know, I just thought this was something minor or whatever, you know. And, well, God will deal with it. But suddenly you realise that this is going far deeper. This is a bigger area. And this is why I said that God has been dealing with ancestral things. And ancestral things can only be dealt with by the message of the cross. There's no other way. There's no other way. To get the true revelation and deliverance of ancestral deliverance, it comes back to the message of the cross. Why? Because they're deep. Shall I tell you that ancestral holds have moulded your family for centuries? You see traits come through your families? Of course you do. Because God opens your eyes to it. And the reason being is, your family's generations have been held for years. In fact, hundreds of years. By those powers, principalities in operation. Satan's got certain powers over families. And those demons work and mould. And those traits come through. From grandparents, great-grandparents and so on. What can break that? The power of God. And how does the power of God come into operation? The cross. As he works deliverance. See? So, this is wonderful what God's doing. This goes far, far deeper than we ever realized. And only God can ultimately do it. So there we are, friends. In the trials, God will reveal the cross. And you've got a choice. You've got a choice. And I suspect and I believe the best for all of us that you know what choice it is. Because God has spoken it this morning, has he not? Hallelujah.
In the ways of the Lord, leave all behind, follow me. Yes, follow me, says the Lord. To count it joy and praise the Lord.
Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, this message could never be preached unless you have provided for this. And that provision is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and the grace to be able to overcome. And Lord, we thank you that that is our experience and is to be experienced. And Lord, we know that the powers of darkness will try to stop us, hinder us, do all he can to stop us acknowledging those areas that must die. But Lord, we thank you that as we remain with this and stay with this, you eventually will catch up with us. For Lord, there's nowhere we can run. We cannot outrun the Lord. We cannot escape his all-seeing eye. And so, Lord, we thank you that you will help us to simply surrender and begin to just allow the Holy Spirit to put us to death, which is our deliverance. Make us sensitive to this. Make us alert to this. And ever remind us each day as we wake up that we take our cross and we follow you. So Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you that you'll ever preserve us and keep us and cause your face to shine upon us this day and always. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.